This is The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. I'll ask the questions, and I'll let the book do the talking using words from its own pages. This is essentially a book interview. Your time is valuable, so let's get started. Today, I'll be interviewing The Simple Path to Wealth, Your Roadmap to Financial Independence and a Rich Free Life by J.L. Collins. It currently has sold over a million copies, has an overall rating of 4.7 on Amazon, and 82% of the reviewers call it a 5-star book. Question number one, what's the book about? Answer, this book is about guiding you toward financial independence. It's about buying your financial freedom. It's about helping you become wealthy and putting you in control of your financial destiny. It exposes the marketing myths and investment industry practices that keep most people from building real wealth. Question. In the book, you say you always knew you wanted FU money. Can you explain what you mean? Answer. Long before I heard the term, I knew I wanted FU money. If memory serves, the phrase originates in James Clavell's novel, Noble House, and from the moment I read it, I had a tangible goal with an unforgettable name. In the novel, a young woman is on a quest to secure her own FU money. By this, she means enough money to be completely free of the demands of others and to be able to do exactly what she wants with her life and her time. She's after $10 million, far more than it takes to reach simple financial independence. Personally, there's nothing I'd rather buy or own than FU money. With it, the world's possibilities are endless, and you're faced with the delicious decision as to what to do with your freedom. If you don't have yours, I suggest you start building it now. It's never too late to start. FU money is critical. Question. In terms of getting FU money, you discuss in the first chapter the single biggest barrier to financial independence. What is it exactly? Answer. Most people will never achieve financial independence, and their acceptance of debt is the single biggest reason why. If you intend to achieve financial freedom, you're going to have to think differently. It starts by recognizing that debt should not be considered normal. It should be recognized as the vicious, pernicious destroyer of wealth-building potential that it truly is. It has no place in your financial life. If you carry a lot of debt, set aside any aspirations for financial freedom. The more debt you carry, the more of your income is devoured by interest payments. With debt, you are enslaved to whatever source of income you have. Your practical ability to make choices congruent with your values and long-term goals is seriously constrained. Your stress levels build. In the end, the fact that it's a prison of your own making makes it all the more difficult for you. Question. Well, that's good advice for the person starting out without debt. But what do you say to the person who's already deep in debt? Answer. Countless articles and books have been written about ridding yourself of debt. Be careful not to let the pursuit of the methods get in the way of the doing. The truth is, there's no easy way, but it is pretty simple. Here's what I'd do. 1. Make a list of all your debts. 2. Eliminate all non-essential spending, and I mean all of it. Those $5 coffees, $30 dinners, and $15 cocktails, they do add up. 3. Rank your debts by interest rate. 4. Pay the minimum required on all your debts, and then focus the rest of your available money on the one with the highest interest rate first. 5. Once you've blown that one away, move on to the second highest interest rate and keep going, right on down the list. In short, nothing fancy. Just do the work and get it done. This is not going to be easy. Simple yes, easy no. Question. And by contrast, you make it very clear what not to do to get out of debt. Can you list these things that you advise against? Answer: here's what I would not do. I would not pay for a service to help. This only adds to your costs, and such credit counseling services have no magic formulas or techniques to make this less painful. You, and only you, can do the work. I would not worry about trying to consolidate your loans into one place, not even for a lower interest rate. You are going to pay these puppies off fast and hard. Once they're gone, your interest rate will be zero. That's your goal, not merely taking your rate from 18% to 12%. Focus on that goal rather than clever strategies. I would not pay off the smaller loans first for the psychological boost. I know this is a key part of at least one popular strategy, and if it makes you more likely to stay the course, so be it. But I'm personally not a fan of such crutches. Better to adapt yourself and your attitude to the numbers than to adapt the strategies to your psychological comfort level. Question. Speaking of strategies, you have a very simple formula for financial independence. What is that exactly? Answer. Here's the simple formula. Spend less than you earn, invest the surplus, avoid debt. Do only this and you'll wind up rich. On the other hand, if your lifestyle matches or exceeds your income, you forfeit your hopes of financial independence. On blogs like Early Retirement Extreme and Mr. Money Mustache, you'll find countless stories of people with modest incomes who, by way of frugal living and dedicated savings, get there in a remarkably short time. More commonly, you don't have to go far to meet someone who will tell you about all the things they can't live without. You probably know people like this, but if you want to be wealthy by controlling both your needs and expanding your assets, it pays to re-examine and question those common beliefs. Money can buy many things, none of which is more important than your financial independence. Question. So let's talk about investing the surplus. We know that the average investor in stocks historically earns less than the stock market's average returns because human beings tend to sell in times of panic. What do you say to them? Answer. I say to toughen up and cure your bad behavior. This means you must recognize the counterproductive psychology that causes bad investment decisions, such as panic selling, and correct it in yourself. In doing so, your investments will be far simpler and your results far stronger. To start, you need to understand a few things about the stock market. 1. Market crashes are to be expected. 2. The market always recovers. Always. And if someday it really doesn't, no investment will be safe and none of this financial stuff will matter anyway. 3. The market always goes up. Always. Bet no one's told you that before, but it's true. Understand, this is not to say it's a smooth ride. It's not. It's most often a wild and rocky road, but it always, and I mean always, goes up. Not every year, not every month, not every week, and certainly not every day, but the trend is relentless through disaster after disaster, up. 4. The market is the single best performing investment class over time, bar none. 5. The next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years will have just as many collapses, recessions, and disasters as in the past. 6. This is why you have to toughen up, learn to ignore the noise, and ride out the storm, adding still more money to your investments as you go. 7. To be strong enough to stay the course, you need to know that bad things are coming, not only intellectually, but on an emotional level as well. You need to know this deep in your gut. They will happen. They will hurt. But like blizzards in winter, they should never be a surprise. And unless you panic, they won't matter. Question. Speaking of panics, you lived through the worst stock market crash in history in terms of a one-day drop, which is now infamously called Black Monday. What was that like? Answer: it's hard to describe just what this was like. Not even the Great Depression had seen a day like this one, nor have we since. Truly, it looked like the end of the financial world. Stocks were down 22% in that one day. Like any educated investor, I knew that the market was volatile. I knew that, on its relentless march upward, there could and would be sharp drops, corrections, and bear markets. I knew that the best course was to hold firm and not panic. But this was a whole nother frame of reference. I held tight for 3 or 4 months. Stocks continued to drift even lower. I knew this was normal, but unfortunately, I knew it only on an intellectual level. I hadn't yet learned it deep enough in my gut. Finally, I lost my nerve and sold. I just wasn't tough enough. The day when I sold, it was, if not the absolute bottom, close enough to it as to not matter. Then, of course, and as always, the market again began its inevitable climb. The market always goes up. It took a year or so for me to regain my nerve and get back in. By then, it had passed its pre-Black Monday high. I had managed to lock in my losses and pay a premium for a seat back at the table. It was expensive. It was stupid. It was an embarrassing failure of nerve. I just wasn't tough enough. But I am now. My mistake of 87 taught me exactly how to weather all the future storms that came rolling in, including the Class 5 financial hurricane of 2008. It taught me to be tough, and ultimately, it made me far more money than the admittedly expensive education had cost. Question: and after 40 years of education, you've come to the surprising conclusion that investors need only 3 index funds to get the most out of the stock market. What are they? Answer: once you're ready to build a stock market portfolio, you'll need only 3 tools to do it. The 3 tools are as follows. 1. Stocks. VTSAX. This is the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund. Stocks provide the best returns over time and serve as our inflation hedge. This is our core wealth-building tool. 2. Bonds. VBTLX. This is the Vanguard Total Bond Market Index Fund. Bonds provide income, tend to smooth out the rough ride of stocks, and serve as our deflation hedge. 3. Cash. Cash is good to have around to cover routine expenses and to meet emergencies. Cash is also king during times of deflation. The more prices drop, the more your cash can buy. But when prices rise, as in inflation, its value steadily erodes. So that's it. A stock index fund, a bond index fund, and cash in a money market fund. And let me make one thing clear. I don't favor index investing just because it's easier, although it is, or because it's simpler, although it is that too. I favor index funds because they are more effective and more powerful in building wealth than the alternatives. Question. So let's dig deeper. You say the core wealth building tool is an index fund called VTSAX, which holds every stock in the market and guarantees an average market return. Why this fund, and why would anyone want an average market return? Answer: the harsh truth is, I cannot pick winning stocks, and you can't either. Nor can the vast majority of professionals who claim they can. It's extraordinarily difficult, expensive, and a fool's errand to try. Having the humility to accept this will do wonders for your ability to accumulate wealth. With index investing, you get average market returns. But in this context, the word average is mostly misunderstood. Rather than meaning index fund returns are at the midpoint, the word average here means that an index fund mirrors the market. professional money managers are measured against how well they do against this average market return. In any given year, most underperform their target index. Indeed, over periods of 15 to 30 years, an index fund will outperform 83% or more of actively managed funds. What this means is that just buying a total stock market index fund like VTSAX guarantees you'll be in the top performance tier. For now, all you need to know is that VTSAX is a total stock market index fund, and as such, it mirrors the market's average returns of 8 to 12% annually. Year after year, I can live and prosper with that kind of average. Question: but is this average market return really enough to build wealth and financial independence? Answer: to understand the power of average returns, just consider the last 30-year history of the S&P 500. In January 1995, it was around 460. In January 2025, it opened around 5,869. And that includes not only the 2000 and 2008 crashes, but also the one at the beginning of the COVID pandemic. This is where the real magic is found. The stock market's wealth-building power over time is nothing short of breathtaking. But so too is the ride along the way. Whether you invest today or sometime in the future, I guarantee your wealth will be cut in half more than once over the next 60 years. You'll suffer many other setbacks as well. It is never fun, but it is the process and the price that you and everybody else must pay to enjoy the benefits. Question: as an overview, to enjoy these benefits, can you summarize the two investment phases of life and the strategies for each phase? Answer: with simplicity as our guide, we can look at our investing lives in two broad stages, wealth accumulation and wealth preservation. And we can use just two funds, VTSAX as the stock fund and VBTLX as the bond fund. The wealth accumulation stage is when you're working and have earned income to save and invest. For this stage, I favor 100% stocks, and VTSAX is the fund. You enter the wealth preservation stage once you step away from your job and regular paychecks and begin living on the income from your investments. At this point, I recommend adding bonds to your portfolio, because at this stage, you might want to smooth the ride a bit, even at the cost of lower overall returns. In fact, my wife and I are now in this later stage, and for our money, we hold about 75% stocks, 20% bonds, 5% cash. Question: well, you certainly have a strategy that simplifies the path to wealth. Do you have any final words of advice for those who want financial freedom, but also fear losing their money in the stock market? Answer: fear is perfectly understandable. Nobody wants to lose their money, but until you master the fear, such fear will be deadly to your wealth. It will prevent you from investing. Making a few sound choices and letting them run is the essence of success and the soul of the simple path to wealth. Keep in mind, you can fine-tune your allocation in each investment to meet your own personal considerations. Want a smoother ride? Are you willing to accept a lower return and slower wealth accumulation? Just increase the percentage in the bonds and/or cash. Do you want maximum growth potential? Hold more in stocks. In the end, it's pretty simple. Here's what your kindly old Uncle Jim says: put all your eggs in one basket and forget about it. The great irony of investing is that the more you watch and fiddle with your holdings, the less well you are likely to do. Fill your basket, add as much as you can along the way, and ignore it the rest of the time. You'll likely wake up rich. And here's the basket, VTSAX. And finally, my favorite quotes from the book are as follows. Money can buy many things, none of which is more important than your financial independence. Most people will never achieve financial independence, and their acceptance of debt is the single biggest reason why. The market always recovers. Always. The market always goes up. Always. Index investing is for people who want the best possible results. Put all your eggs in one basket and forget about it. And that's it for this book interview with The Simple Path to Wealth, Your Roadmap to Financial Independence and a Rich Free Life by J.L. Collins. You've been listening to The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. You can order this book in the links below or on our website if you'd like to support our cause. It puts a few pennies in our pockets without taking any extra pennies from yours. As always, thank you for your time.